John White. How are you?
Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is John White, medium here at Lilydale, New York, also known as the City of Light. HBO did a documentary that you could download. It's called No One Dies in Lilydale. Well, of course, no one dies anywhere. And that's what mediumship is all about. Being able to tune into your loved ones on the other side of life and being able to derive spiritual insights and information from those beings. Even our pets, everyone that we have loved, continuing to develop themselves and grow on the other side of life. And here are some of the subjects that we love to talk about. Of course, life after life. You know, it reminds me of a friend that I have, Raymond Moody. Do you remember Raymond Moody? He wrote a book long, long time ago about the near-death experience. And that very subject has become very, very popular throughout the years. And I met Raymond Moody recently in Montreal, Canada, where I'm from, and he's still talking and developing different ways of communicating with beings on the other side of life. And here in Lilydale, we are also what is known as a spiritual teaching center. And these are some of the subjects that we teach. Of course, we teach mediumship and how to develop yourself as a medium and how to communicate with people on the other side of life. We also believe that meditation is an important part, an important element of developing your mediumship. As a medium here at Lilydale, we're constantly counseling people from all different walks of life. People who have lost loved ones and want to communicate with them. People who believe that they derive inspiration from angels and guides and teachers on the other side of life also. You know, they say that the two biggest fears in the world are public speaking and dying. Well, we know that no one dies. And listen now, I bet most of you out there listening to this broadcast have had at some time the experience of feeling a loved one who has passed on. And how do they communicate with us is that they think of us. You know, Einstein said, the intuitive mind is a sacred gift and the rational brain is a faithful servant. We have created a society where we honor the servant and forgotten the gift. And so gift of mediumship is one of the beautiful gifts that we can develop. Now, if you go through all the Bibles in the world, whether it is the Christian Bible, the Bhagavad Gita from India, the Quran, or other Bibles, they were all written by people who have used and worked with their intuitive mind and communicating with angels. And that's all part of mediumship. So, here at Lilydale, spiritualism is one religion that actually teach you how to communicate with our loved ones who have passed on and help you to understand how to work with the different spirit worlds. Okay, so we're going to take a caller soon, and our first caller is?
We have Mary from New York City. She has a question for you about her career.
Hello, Mary.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. So you have a question about your career.
Yes, I do. I recently lost my job, and I just wanted to see what is in the works and how things are going to unfold for me. And
okay, go ahead, honey. Finish your sentence.
Oh, and I was just wondering in terms of the timeline, too.
Okay. You know, I seem to sense leadership skills with you. Do you do public speaking?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
I sense leadership skills with you. Do you do public speaking?
No, I don't do public speaking.
Well, I'm getting a feeling of leadership skills with you. I get an impression now. Remember that when we're doing this, we're in our timeless mind, which means we could talk about future possibilities. And so I do see you speaking to groups of people in the future. That's why I asked you that question. And I'm also sensing management skills with you. Okay.
I'm sorry, what skills?
Management, like management skill.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And I get a feeling that as I'm going into your future, I feel like I'm in November with this. And I sense that you will be working with people. And, I see you, I don't know if this is a store that you're managing, but I get a feeling of it's communications that have to do with management. And I get a feeling of that's obviously right up your alley. Okay.
That's cool.
Okay, cool, eh?
And I'm just wondering if it's going to be a job where I'll be able to stay and if the salary is good.
Okay. You know, I believe that they will, well, obviously they're going to ask you how much you made before.
It's illegal now.
I get a feeling, if I'm getting this right, in about 3 years from now, I believe that you'll be doubling your income. Okay?
In 3 years?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Now, remember, the intuitive mind sees things as if they're going on now, and that's the impression I got. Okay, thank you very much.
You are listening to Journeys of the Light with Reverend John White, PhD at Lilydale, New York. John is going to be speaking with British medium Andy Bing tonight, who will be holding a workshop all weekend long at Lilydale at the Lyceum Building. And we are going to just take one more caller before John interviews Andy. So we're going to have Deborah from Pennsylvania.
Hi, John.
Hi, Deborah. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Have you ever visited our beautiful place called Lilydale, New York?
I have.
Okay. And what is your interest of following us tonight?
Do you see me moving from where I live right now? And when?
Okay, let me get... don't tell me the streets around. Just give me the... I want to go... I'm doing remote viewing, so... Give me the number, the address of the front of your door so I can go visit you for a moment.
What's the number of my address now?
Yes.
31.
Okay, let me go there. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I see, and you just tell me if this is old news or new news. I don't know if this is an apartment or it actually may be a condominium. And I feel you living across from a park. Is that where you live now?
No.
Okay, then this is good news. I mean, this is new news. It's good news also. See, I went to see where you are, and then I looked out a future window, if you can understand that, and I feel a park across the street. Okay? Now again, this could be a condominium that I'm actually looking at. I'm looking at boxes, and the boxes seem to have some Christmas wrappings in them. So, And how we tell time is that we look at the environment. So I feel as though right around the time of Christmas time, this will make a lot more sense to you. Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, so here at Lilydale, okay, and so here we are, and we're going to be interviewing Andy Soom, a British medium, who will be here at Lilydale this coming weekend, and he's going to be teaching a class on mediumship, and he's going to talk about his journey as a medium and when he first discovered this gift. We do believe it is also a gift, and we know that Andy's a very dedicated teacher and medium, and we've been looking at his bio, and basically he teaches all around the world. And so again, we're very happy and proud to have him here at Lilydale. And here he is. Hello, Andy.
Hi there, John. How are you?
Okay. So happy to have you here. So are you coming in Friday?
Yeah, I'm arriving in Lilydale on Friday evening. The class, I get in about 4 p.m. and the class starts at 7. I remember we'll be working at about 10 o'clock and then on the Saturday and half a day on Sunday.
Okay. Can for our listeners, and many, many, many people come to Lilydale, can you give us, in a nutshell, what you'll be teaching and sharing here at Lilydale?
Yeah, I really believe, you know, when we're working with the spirit world and becoming aware of the spirit world through our faculty of mediumship, it's really our job to tell the story, or part of the life story, our loved ones who have passed away. And that's what I'm really interested in as a medium, is being able to tell a good story about your loved ones using through various feelings, pictures and words, how to interpret those, that the information we receive to create that life story about them and what their hobbies, their jobs, their interests, their expression was while they were here.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, there's a form of mediumship that we call British mediumship and American mediumship. Could you understand the question? Do tell us the difference.
I'm not really sure what the difference is. The sort of mediumship that I'm really interested in is, I guess, what's called evidential mediumship. Where we provide a body of evidence about your loved ones, which can be anything from their personality, their, like I said, their hobbies, their jobs, their names, where they've lived, objects you've got that belong to them, memories that you've shared together, and providing with a body of evidence, as I've said, that tells that story or part of that story of their life. And you know, I'm not sure if there's a difference between what American mediumship is or British mediumship is. I'm not sure if there is or not. I don't know. But I think from the mediums that I've seen in America, we're all doing the same thing, really.
Okay, that's beautiful, beautiful. We've noticed that some British mediums, again, focus a lot on their story, communicating with people who have passed on and spending a lot of time talking about the details of the spirit and what they did in life and perhaps, like what you're saying, what their story is.
Yeah.
So we noticed that British mediums spend a lot of time on that. And now that may be the only difference, by the way. Okay? Now, as a medium, do you believe that all mediums are psychics?
Yeah, really, I very much believe that the psychic ability is available to every single person in the world. I actually think there's no limit that you can place on that psychic ability, the only limit being the limitations that you place with your own mind. The reason for that is that we all have a soul, and we all have a spiritual aspect of ourselves that we're living in this life. And because we're all on this physical journey through the physical life and we have a soul, each one of us can blend, our soul can blend with the soul of somebody else that's still alive. However, although everyone has that psychic ability, I believe that mediums are born, they're not made. You'll find that everybody can have an awareness of the spirit world because, again, we have a soul and to a degree we can have an awareness and become aware of the spirit world. However, the degree to which we can then develop that awareness to be able to, in a way, tell good evidential stories about individuals who are now in that world will vary based on two things. First of all, the natural potential that is there within the medium, with that particular medium. I think there's a varying degree of potential in everybody. And also the degree to which that individual is willing to dedicate their life and their expression to the unfoldment of the mediumship itself. I guess if I put it this way, it might make it simple. Now, everybody is able to play chopsticks on a piano. We can all learn to do that. Some of us could then develop that ability to be able to play with friends and family. Some of us will be able to then develop it further to play locally in clubs, in bars, in restaurants. Others a national following, some an international following, and a few in every generation could be world-class pianists. And it's the same with the mediumship. It all depends. Some of us can have an awareness. Others can develop that to be able to give contacts to friends and family. Others can work locally. Others have a national following, an international following, and a few in every generation will be the world-class medium. And I think that makes sense based on what we see in every other expression. It's nothing special. The same with writers, ballerinas, and so on. So that's really where I come from with that aspect.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So are you saying also that not all psychics are mediums, but all mediums have psychic ability also? Is that what you're also saying?
Yeah. The mediumship is working through the psychic faculty. So if you have a mediumistic ability or gift there, then you have to be psychic because it's working through the psychic faculty. And as I've said, everyone has the potential to be a great psychic. And I don't believe that the psychic level is less than the mediumistic level. There's just a time and a place to use the psychic and a time and a place to use the mediumistic.
Thank you. Thank you for that. What is your story? How did you get that started or involved in mediumship? Was there one event or vision that you had or experience that you had that got you on this road, Andy?
I've always had an awareness of the spirit world since I was a young boy. But when I was 18 years of age, I actually decided to move to a place called Sheffield, which is, for those that don't know, it's about 2 hours north of where I was born. And I actually started a new job in that place. And I moved house, left my family behind to start a new career and a new life in Sheffield. And over this 12 months, I really lost everything that I'd worked for. And during that experience, it triggered the mediumistic faculty within me. And during that time of being there, I mean, I was in Sheffield for 3 years, and for the first 2 years, I was meditating. I'd found a small Buddhist centre in Sheffield and began to meditate an hour a day every day for at least 18 months, if not 2 years, before I did any mediumistic exercises. And really, by sitting in the power, developing that relationship with myself and the spirit world over that period of time, that those mediumistic qualities came to the surface and became active. And I, at that age then, when I moved back to Birmingham, where I'm originally from, after losing my grandfather and while I was in Sheffield. I then started to seek and look for what these experiences were, and this knowingness that I could speak to the spirit world, what it all meant. And then I became, I found a small spiritualist church in Birmingham, and the rest is history. I began to develop my mediumship.
So are you saying that, how much do you place the value of meditation on developing your mediumship?
I believe you can develop mediumship without meditation, but I'm very doubtful that an individual could reach their potential without it. I actually believe that the meditation is fundamental to the development of mediumship, but it has to be the right sort of meditation. There's lots of different meditations out there. There's only a few that I know of that are really good for the development of mediumship itself. And a good meditation.
Can you share that with us?
Of course, yeah. There's a great meditation that we call sitting in the power, which is, it's a simple meditation actually, but there's two parts to it. The first part, well actually three parts to it really. The first part is we have to first of all learn how to find a stillness within us, within our own mind and within the body as well. People often have this misguided idea that to meditate or to find a meditative state is to have a blank mind, and it's impossible not to think. You know, Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am." And what it really means is that that is one of the most fundamental things about being in existence, is to think. So when you're thinking about not thinking, you're still thinking. So it's not about finding a blank mind. It's about finding a quiet or still mind. And what that means is that we have to learn through breathing techniques and how to be able to become aware of everything around us, but think of nothing in particular. It's like we have this stillness we're talking about. It's like we're still aware of what's going on, but we're not thinking about one thing in particular, although we're still aware. And that within that stillness that we find, that is where we can find the focus and where upon which then we can have spiritual experiences that we can become conscious of within that stillness of the self. Now, the second part of the meditation is then once we've found that stillness is to then become aware of the power of our own soul and the emanation of that power, which we call the auric field, allowing there to be an expansion within the aura where we then sit and develop a relationship with our own soul. And that's really important, because if we don't know who we are as people, how are we ever going to know what somebody else is or what the soul of somebody else is going to be if we don't know what our own is? So the first stage then is to develop this deep relationship with the self, and that often means that we have to go to the depths of our soul. We have to sometimes relive difficult situations that we feel we've healed from but haven't. At other times, we discover aspects of the self that we didn't know existed but are very positive and wonderful parts of our own soul. But we begin to form a rounded and honest and frank, candid relationship with the self, and we get to know who we are and accept ourselves for who we are as people. Then the last part then of the meditation is where we move that power, we lift that power to have an awareness of the spirit world as a world, but not looking to communicate with any particular individual in the spirit world. It's about developing a relationship with the power of the spirit world itself and becoming a part of that world and experiencing it as a reality. Now, I think what happens quite often with mediums is they forget that the people that they are blending with and becoming aware of are real living people. And quite often we can reduce the mediumship down to just statements of evidence or pieces of information, and we forget that what we're communicating with and who we're communicating with is a real living, breathing person. And the only way that we can really, I believe, experience that reality is by allowing the power of the spirit world to touch us and living it every day as a reality. And that's why I think the meditation is so fundamental. It builds these foundational relationships that we have to have with ourselves and with the spirit world.
Beautiful. Now, are you going to be teaching some of this weekend here at Lilydale, New York?
Yeah, I mean, with my own teaching, I'm very interested in personal development of the self, because I don't believe it can be separated from the development of the mediumship. Again, quite often students want to develop their mediumship, but they don't realise that to develop the mediumship is to develop the self. So intrinsic in what I teach is to bring in self-development and personal development in different aspects of my teaching. So although this weekend really focuses on having an awareness of the spirit world, developing that awareness to become aware of individuals in the spirit world and telling the stories of those individuals through learning how to work with the emotion of the communicator and also working with the clairvoyant pictures that we receive to tell that evidence, I will also spend some time on getting the students to understand how developing those aspects of the mediumship requires them to develop aspects of themselves as well.
That's beautiful. Now, a lot of people who become mediums and teachers in the spirit field are inspired by different teachers. Do you have any teachers, Andy, that have inspired you?
Yeah, I mean, I've quite a few mediums that have inspired me over the years, and I'm proud to say that many of them are now colleagues that I work alongside. Mediums that are still alive. I mean, Paul Jacobs has had a big influence on my work over the years, and he's, I consider to be a very close friend. And those mediums that have gone before us. I mean, there's Gordon Higginson, Estelle Roberts, Betty Wakelin. I hear lots of stories about all these mediums, and those stories really do inspire me and continue me to develop and push forward with my own work.
That's beautiful, and we're also very happy that you are acknowledging that. Developing what some of us may call your higher self or your sacred self, along with mediumship, is so important. It's so important.
Yeah, if you think about it, we're saying that the mediumship is the expression of our own soul. So if we're going to develop the mediumship, we have to also develop our own soul as well at the same time.
Okay, so it sounds like you believe in continuing education and the medium. Basically developing themselves throughout the years so that they may become an instrument of God.
Yeah. Completely agree
okay.
with that.
Okay. Okay. Now, is it true that, you know, when you're tuning into the people, is it true that some people are a little bit difficult to tune into and other people are very easy to tune into? Do you have any thoughts about that? And why?
Okay. I mean, what you've got to remember first of all is that that in life, you know, I let me put it this way to try and make it as simple as I can. You know, in life, when you meet people, some people you click with straight away, and you just understand, get on with, and have a relationship from the moment that you meet. And other people, when you meet them, it takes you time to understand them, and you can't always, sometimes there's parts of you that doesn't quite accept aspects of them or understand aspects of them. And that's because, you know, when we have very similar energy, maybe we've gone through similar life experiences, we have similar qualities, we have similar personalities. When the power of our soul finds affinity, a natural affinity in the soul of another person, our energy can blend much more easily and much more freely, and we can understand one another because we've had shared life experiences or similar qualities of the soul. Whereas with other people, at times, you know, that's the opposite is the case, and we might find that a little bit more difficult to blend with those sorts of people. With the training of the mediumship, and what we're talking about now, of course, is the psychic level. When we're training people on the psychic level particularly, we have to give them exposure to lots of different sorts of people, some that they get on with and naturally have an affinity with and can blend easily with, and others they find more difficult, because we've got to learn to work with all sorts of people from all sorts of backgrounds. But of course, the same can also be said of the spirit people as well. Often there's people in the spirit world that have shared similar interests, personalities, life experiences than we have, and we can communicate more easily with those sorts of people from the spirit world than people that we have less in common with as well. So it works on both levels.
Andy, do you believe that when a person, let's say if a person passes on, and you know they're Catholic or they're Hindu or they're Jewish, do you feel as though they continue having that same belief system after they pass on, or do things change?
It's very difficult for me to answer that question. But
Celeste,
what I really believe. What I really believe is that when we move to the spirit world, I'm just trying to think the best place to start this answer. The first thing to bear in mind is that what we're saying is that the soul is a living energy that with every thought, action, and deed that we do changes the very nature of the soul that we are. And so as we experience life, the power of us as individuals is constantly changing as our moral and intellectual development and refinement evolves and moves forward. The state of our soul, which by that I mean the vibration on which our soul is at the moment of death, will affect our initial experiences in the spirit world. What we really believe, of course, is that although that might dictate our initial experiences, there's still opportunity to continue to grow both morally and intellectually in the spirit world. And so I guess it all depends on the individual. At the moment that they become aware of that reality of the spirit world, I'm sure it has a great impact on them both morally and intellectually, and may change their opinions and their understanding of life, not only the life that they've lived, but the life they are also living in the spirit world. So I'm sure it does, but I'm also sure others may be able to reconcile their existing belief in Judaism, Hinduism, any of the Abrahamic faiths or any religion out there with their new conditions in the spirit world. In fact, it may deepen their understanding of that belief system. So I'm sure both things are possible.
Beautiful, beautiful.
You are listening to Journeys of the Light with John White and his guest from the UK, Andy Bing. Andy and John, we have a caller from East Aurora named Sally. She has a spiritual question she would like to ask you.
Of course.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
It's a pleasure.
I was wondering if I could ask, I sometimes hear that that mediums recommend that you talk to your spirit loved ones and that they will hear you without having to go to a medium. And then I also heard that you're not supposed to, like, call on them to do things. And I was wondering if you had thoughts on kind of relationships with spirit people.
Yeah. I mean, I can only give you my own personal view and really, I guess, how I commune with my own loved ones in the spirit world. And again, what I'm going to say, I'm not saying is the right answer or the wrong answer. It's just my opinion. Okay. For me, I'm somebody that I really believe in allowing the spirit world to be part of my daily life. That doesn't mean I have a personal conversation with the spirit world, but it means that I allow them to influence my life, and I let myself feel the presence of the spirit world within my life as much as I possibly can. But when it comes to my own loved ones, it's very often that I'm aware of the presence of them. So quite often with my grandfather, my grandmother, my friends that have passed away, I can feel them around me and I have that awareness of them. And often within my own thoughts, not only with my own family and friends, but also with those in the spirit world that I work with, my helpers, if you want to say guides, that spirit team, I'm often sending through my emotion, thoughts, questions, asking them for help with my mediumship and my life. But I don't ever expect a definitive answer or an immediate answer in reply. So, I'm open to having that experience of them, the presence, and feel the presence of them there. But I don't allow myself to get into a in-depth conversation where there's an immediate back and forth response. And I'll tell you for why. What for me as a medium, what is important to me is that my experiences are valid, and that they are a real experience. And I'm open to the fact that I can still create certain pieces of information or certain experiences. I may think are real, but I might not be. Now, when I do a demonstration or private sitting of mediumship, there's an objectivity to that experience because I don't know the people in the room, and I don't know the recipient or the sitter that's sitting opposite me. So when I have these mediumistic experiences and I give them evidence of their loved one and they respond, yes, that's correct, it validates my own experience as a medium, and I know it's not my own mind because the information is correct and there's that objectivity to the experience itself. The problem I have with my own family is that if I had this conversation with my grandfather, I wouldn't really know for sure if it was him that was giving me this response or these pictures or feelings, or whether it was my own mind creating it. I'm too close to that experience. So usually when I put thoughts out to the spirit world, I don't receive an immediate response. Quite often the response will come through another medium. Something will happen. I might open a book to a certain page, be inspired to open a book, and there's the answer for me. But the spirit will communicate what they need to me to respond to my questions and my thoughts. But it's normally in a more indirect way where I know it's not my own mind creating it. There's still that objectivity to the experience that I'm looking for. So I hope that explains it, and I've been as diplomatic as I can be. But that's really where I stand on the issue.
No, that was okay. That was great. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Celeste. Thank you. Holy. Okay. So we have a caller on email that's asking about the age old question: can we get mediumship through Ouija board? Now, what do you think about that?
I mean, there's lots of things that have been negative things that are said about the Ouija board, but it's actually a very early spiritualist tool that was used for physical mediumship. You know, with any sort of mediumship, what it was in the early time in early spiritualism, some of the most rudimentary forms of communication was through tappings. So what would happen is the spiritualists would sit around a table, build that power, and the spirit world would often communicate through tapping a table. Well, they used to tap out the alphabet. So an A would be one tap, a B two taps, C three taps, and so on. So that could be very time consuming and laborious, especially if you've got a word that begins in Z and you've got 26 taps for the first letter. So early spiritualists designed the Ouija board, which is a way of being able to quicken the communication with the spirit world for that particular sort of physical phenomena. Now, it's attracted in recent decades and years, mainly through the media, a negative connotation that's it's normally seen as being something with evil spirits or something evil. You know, I'd like to say to all the listeners, especially those that maybe are new to spiritualism, I don't really believe in having been able to communicate with evil spirits, because as far as my understanding is and from my own experience, mediumship works through the power of love, and that communication happens because of the love between the communicator and somebody that's still on earth. So the answer is yes, if you've got a certain sort of mediumship, the physical mediumship, and the medium has that present within them, you can receive messages from your loved ones through the Ouija board. But we have to then be careful. Is it the spirit world and actual physical phenomenon, or is it telekinesis, where it's more of a psychic energy, or again, is it a minute muscular action, unconscious muscular action of the sitters who are moving moving around the board themselves. There's not just one explanation. There's lots of explanations, and we have to be very critical and open-minded and not put everything down to the spirit world, but look for naturalistic explanations first and the spirit, give credit to the spirit world last. I think that's the best I can answer that one for you.
Thank you much for asking that. Do people really have spirit guides and angels? And have you had any experience working with a spirit guide? And can you explain that a little bit for our listeners?
Okay. Very much, I do believe everybody has certain people in the spirit world who are in charge of their spiritual unfoldment and development. Depending on how open you are to that possibility and how able you are to have an awareness of the spirit world, and I guess how much you allow that world to be part of your daily life, will depend on the degree to which those people can influence you and help guide you in this life. But I believe that everybody has them. For the medium, the role of the guide very much depends on the sort of mediumship that you're trying to develop. With the trance mediumship and the physical mediumship, the guides play a much greater role in the development of the mediumship and in actually manifesting the phenomena and the experience that's taking place in comparison to the mental mediumship. For me, from my understanding through my own development, the guides in the mental mediumship are there to help the medium, are there to understand how the medium's soul works, that is, how they can manifest certain phenomena within the soul of the medium, and how best to manage the power and energy of the medium. And also how that energy is and how that power is managed within the demonstration itself. I'm somebody that doesn't really, I don't believe that we communicate directly with the guide all the time during the communication. Some mediums would argue that everything that they receive comes through the guide. In my understanding and within my own mediumship, it doesn't. When I'm aware of mom or dad in the spirit world, I'm communicating directly with the mom or the dad, not via the guide. So from my understanding, although the spirit world helped to develop my power, how to work with me best, I also believe they actually inform the moms, dads, brothers, sisters, grandparents, the loved ones that are coming to communicate at the demonstration how best to work with me as an instrument of communication as well. So they're there to educate the spirit people and to learn how to develop and work with me as an individual. But I believe I'm very much communicating directly with the people in the spirit world that are communicating and not through the guide.
Beautiful, beautiful. If you'd like to speak to Andy and ask questions of Andy, who's going to be here at Lilydale, you can phone 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. Andy, can you give us your website?
My website is www.andybing.com.
Okay, thank you.
You are listening to Journeys of the Light with Reverend John White and his guest, Andy Bing, from the UK. Andy will be here giving a workshop all weekend long. If you'd like more information, you can go on to Andy's website or lilydaleassembly.com. This class is courtesy of the Lilydale Mediums League. If you'd like to listen to registered medium Colleen Vanderseiden, Embracing Your Essence, her radio show is Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Willa White, another registered medium here at Lilydale, is on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Of course, John White's show is on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. And Celeste Elliott, another wonderful registered medium here at Lilydale, is on 10 a.m. on Fridays. Here's John.
Okay, Andy, we have a little time left. Is there something that you would like to share with our listeners that would be coming to your workshop that we haven't asked so far?
I think what I'm really interested in with my own work and my own teaching at the moment is to actually bring back the naturalness of the mediumship itself, rather than relying on too much structure and an overstructured development. I think that's something that we've lost within mediumship development itself, is that we've tried to rely too much on all these complicated and overly structured methods, which limits the medium and in a way can often put them in a straitjacket where they can't go beyond the structure that they've been taught. What I'm very much interested in is recognising that every communicator that comes from the spirit world has a certain need, a need to communicate a certain aspect of themselves to their loved one. First of all, to identify themselves as an individual, but secondly, because that need will often be the memories or the part of their relationship that will move, heal, and uplift the recipient. And what my teaching really focuses on meeting the need of the communicator and allowing the communicator to communicate whatever they need to communicate in whatever way it can be manifested within the mediumship. So I really try to put a massive emphasis on allowing the medium to have that naturalness, which will be different within every person because we're all unique, but to actually use the strengths of the medium and the naturalness of their mediumship to further develop and heighten their awareness and expression of the spirit world.
Beautiful, beautiful. Andy, do sometimes people come to you and you're communicating with people who have committed suicide or passed on all of a sudden and they're not really sure where they are? Do you have any experiences like that?
So I didn't quite catch everything you said there, John. I'm sorry.
Okay. When people commit suicide and they find themselves on the other side of life, okay, do you have any experiences with that?
Yeah, I've communicated with lots of communicators who have committed suicide. I try to be as honest as I can about these subjects. The first thing I think is really important to get across is that the spirit, those people who have committed suicide, they're not punished on the other side, but are actually counseled and cared for by people in the spirit world to understand and heal from that spiritual turmoil, and in some cases that inner torture that they have to live through in their daily life that's suicide. So it's important that people realise they're not punished, but are helped and counselled. The other thing that we've got to also be aware of, if that suicide has happened, because as I said, the person has suffered from a spiritual torment or turmoil, I don't believe that vanishes at the moment of physical death. Rather, okay. that we can never escape that. We have to work through it and understand it and develop ourselves and refine ourselves. But we're helped in doing that. And for some people, you know, the physical life, that they aren't free enough. They can't cope with the physical life because it's too, the physical body and the physical consciousness is too limiting. And so people, rather than being punished for it, are helped in that way. But I still believe they have to heal for themselves from the experience. It doesn't just vanish because it's not a physical condition. It's a spiritual condition that we have to deal with and understand ourselves.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Andy.
Okay, we have a question for Andy and John. We have Patricia from Illinois, and she was listening in, and she wants to, here's a question about being ready. Patricia, can you ask the question for John and Andy?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm taking Reiki 1, and I'm reading tarot cards, but I feel I'm getting caught up in the system of, like, memorizing things or protocol rather than, I think I'm looking for just that ability just to connect, you know,
okay.
on a natural level. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That, you know, if I memorized tarot cards and I read memorizing them, I wouldn't feel that I read for myself. But I couldn't read for somebody else if I didn't feel like the messages were coming from source rather than what I know about the cards.
Okay. So, John, do you want to answer this or do you want me to answer this one?
Go ahead, Andy. You're our special guest.
Okay. So, my first advice to you is actually when you buy a set of tarot cards, this might not be a popular thing to say, but it's actually to throw away the instruction book. What the tarot card really is, it's a tool that enables the psychic to focus on a particular thing. And as you focus on the card, so you obviously you're looking at the card and you're focusing on it, it enables you to go beyond yourself and to have an awareness of the power of the soul of the recipient, which will then trigger either a clairvoyant, clairsentience, or a clairaudient experience, which then enables you to interpret, become aware and understand the nature of that person's soul, to tell the story about their life and what's affecting them in their physical life or what they've gone through in the past. So, again, when you talk about the naturalness, you know, what my advice would be to you is actually to learn how, again, through the meditation, through sitting and building that relationship, learn how to blend psychically with your recipient or person that you're reading for, and then use the cards as a tool to help trigger these spiritual experiences, for instance, the clairvoyance, the clairsentience, the clairaudience, so that you can then have an access through those experiences to the nature of the person's soul that you're sitting for. I'm not an expert in tarot, so I don't claim that I am, but from my understanding, and my own experiences, that's what really the tarot should be used for, as a tool to become aware of the psychic level rather than just looking at a card and memorizing a meaning. There's no communication there, you know, with the soul. The psychic level is about your soul blending with the soul of your recipient, and the tarot card is a tool that can open your imagination and your awareness to become aware of that power.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Pleasure.
Okay, next we have a question we received by email. Someone would like to know, what is the relationship between mediumship and spiritual healing, and will the development of one help with the other?
Okay, so spiritual healing is a form, an aspect of mediumship, because with the spiritual healing, the medium is having an awareness, is moving their mind to the spirit world, using that spiritual power then to, that the healing is going from that spiritual power through the medium to then be received by the patient. So it's from spirit, through spirit, to spirit. So healing in that respect is an aspect of mediumship. If you're asking as well, how can spiritual healing aid the development of mediumship, I believe it has a real impact on the development of the medium, which in turn has an impact on the development of the mediumship. As I've said to you, one of the biggest things that we have to do with the mediumship is to build this relationship with the self. And that does involve then having to heal from certain experiences to find stability within our own emotions so that it can be triggered. What I believe and what I teach is, as I'm blending with the spirit world and I'm aware of an individual communicator, say for instance that communicator wants to get across the feeling of depression, because they were depressed before they passed. As I touch part of that, of their soul that relates to that depression, their depression within themselves triggers a depression within, a feeling of depression within my own soul, which I become aware of. So although when I'm aware of that depression, it's been triggered from the spirit world, it's actually a feeling of a depression that I've experienced myself in my own life. That depression is being triggered within my own soul, which I'm becoming aware of. So that's really important to understand, because it means several things. One of the big difficulties that students of mediumship face is that sometimes certain emotions are triggered within the communication and they don't know what those emotions mean. So what that means is that in that case, there's certain emotions within the medium soul that they don't understand fully or have a knowledge of. Secondly, at times, although the medium might know what that emotion is and recognize that emotion, they can't always find the right words to express what that emotion is, which tells us that there's certain emotions within the medium soul that they can't fully express. Now, there's certain experiences there that we haven't healed from fully, then one of two things can happen. First of all, it might not be able to be triggered within the soul because it's too painful, which then limits the mediumship itself. And secondly, at times, even though that emotion might be triggered, if there's still, for instance, you know,
we have to
fear
go to,
there,
I'm sorry,
and anger there. Okay, I'll be very quick. Then that might then also be projected onto the client or the recipient. So the healing is intrinsic to the mediumistic development, because you have to heal the self that affects all different aspects of the expression of the mediumship. So I hope that helps as well.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Andy.
Pleasure. It's all mine, honestly. I've really enjoyed the show, so thank you.
Beautiful. Can you remind us in a nutshell? So you're here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Is that true?
I'm here for the whole weekend. But this is a demonstration on the Sunday morning as well.
What is your when exactly is your demonstration?
I believe it's Sunday morning. I can't quite remember the time. I think it might be 10 o'clock. But I know there's a demonstration here on Sunday morning, and then the workshop is all weekend.
Okay. Well, all the mediums here and also the people that come to Ludlow are looking forward to your visit. Again, thanks a lot, Andy.
That's fantastic. Thank you for your time this evening. Good night.
Okay, God bless.